If you're joining us for the first time, we are studying through this great book of the Bible, and we are in chapter number 4 this morning. And let's look at verse number 1 together. Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 1. If you have a Bible, I hope you can find Revelation 4:1. If you don't, just go ahead and share with the person next to you. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it is through your word, it is through your truth that you are glorified, that you are honored. Lord, you have stated to us that, Lord, you've lifted up your word and exalted your word even above your own very name. Lord, help us to lift your name up high this morning by believing in your truth. Help us to glorify you by obeying your truth. Help us, Lord, to magnify your name to those around us by living your truth. Lord, we thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this very special book, the last book of the Bible, the book of the future, of things to come. Help us, Lord, to live as Christians in these last days in anticipation of the return of our Savior, our King. Lord, speak to us now through your precious word and impart into our hearts the truth of the word. May your word bear fruit in our lives that will praise you and bring you honor as a result. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is an exciting morning as we study through this book, because as we move into chapter number 4 in the book of the Revelation, we are moving into new territory. Amen. Recently, we've been looking at the seven letters to the seven churches of the Revelation, and we've looked at the present church age. But now, as we open up to chapter number 4, we are about to take a step into the future. Chapter number 4 tells us of those things that must be hereafter. Now, it's important for us to understand the significance of verse number 1 here in the book of the Revelation. In fact, if you misunderstand or mess up this verse, you're going to mess up and misunderstand the rest of the chapters in this all-important book. If we don't understand this verse, we'll be in trouble and we'll be in a mess from here. Now, have you ever put on a jacket or a sweater, ladies, or a vest, which had a lot of buttons on it, and you start putting it together and putting on that jacket and tying up those buttons, and then you look down and you realize there's something wrong? Maybe parents, if you have children, this morning I was putting on a little jacket for my daughter, and you know, if you put the wrong button in the wrong buttonhole to begin with, the rest of the process is a mess. And usually what you need to do is undo it all, go back to the beginning to put it in place. And you know, this is what the book of the Revelation is about. Everything needs to be in place, because this is a supernatural book, like every book of the Bible, but specifically it is a book of prophecy. You see, just like the seven letters represented truths to those very churches, supernaturally those letters apply for us today, and supernaturally they represented different periods of church history. As we move into Revelation chapter number 4 and verse 1, this verse means much more than we seem to give it. It's a vital verse. So just by way of introduction, notice with me, it's a verse of transition. It's a verse of transition. Notice what the Bible says. The first two words in verse number 1 are what? After this. Notice the last two words of the verse. What are those words? Hereafter. After this, hereafter. In fact, those words come from the same root word, the same original word. They are the same. And it's not a word that is unfamiliar to us. We've read this word before. Look with me in the book of Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 19. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. When John was called to write this book of the prophecy, notice verse number 19, the Lord said this, "Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be," what's the next word? Hereafter. There's our phrase, hereafter. That's what John was about to see. That's what John was about to write and experience from the Lord. And here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, we have a very simple outline of the book. Now remember, this is God's outline of this wonderful book. Write the things in verse 19 that thou hast seen. That's the past. That's chapter number 1. God reveals to the writer, the Apostle John, those things which thou hast seen, the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up in all his glory. We learned about the writer and the book of the Revelation. And then we moved into those things which are. That's the present. The letters to the churches of the Revelation that represent our present church day. And then there are those things which must be hereafter. Write the things which shall be hereafter. And that is the future. Those are events that will happen at the end of the church age. You see, back in Revelation 4 and verse 1, it is a verse of transition. We're going from the present into the future. John was told to write those things which are. Now he's going to write those things which shall be hereafter. It's a verse of transition. And it's an all-important verse. And don't miss this important truth. From here onwards, we no longer read of the church on earth any longer. Now that's important. From verse chapter 4, verse 1, we no longer read of the church on earth. Suddenly, it has disappeared. That's why this verse is important. It's never mentioned on earth again. Chapters 4 and 5, we see the redeemed saints of God worshipping the Lord in heaven and in His presence. And then from chapters 6 to 19, we are told about the awful events of the tribulation. The great wrath of God and the judgment of God that will be poured out upon an unbelieving world. Now, Revelation 4 and verse 1 is a transition into the future for the people of God. It's a verse of transition, and it's also a verse of typology. Remember, God uses symbols, especially in the book of the Revelation, and types. Notice there in verse number 1, John was told up to do what? To come up hither. John was told to come up hither into the very presence of Christ. Now, John was just one man. And here in verse 1, this calling, this experience of John's only affected one man. But you see, John here in verse number 1 was a representative or a picture of what will happen to every believer when the Lord calls his saints home to come up hither. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Let's have a look at this truth in verses 51 to 52. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Let's read together verses 51 and 52 this morning. On to 1, 2. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." You see, in Revelation chapter number 4 and verse 1, John was told to come up hither before the events of the tribulation were revealed. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that there is an event in the Bible which is called the Great Catching Away. And we have come to know this event called as the rapture. The rapture of the saints. The rapture of the believers. That one day, at any moment, before the tribulation, the Lord Jesus Christ will call His people home. Before the pouring out of God's wrath upon an unbelieving world, He will take His people out of the world. And that's what Revelation 4 verse 1 represents. You see, it's a verse of transition, but it's also a picture of the rapture of the believer before the revelation. Titus chapter 2 verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God as Christians we are not looking for the tribulation, amen. We are looking for the glorification. My friends, we are not looking for the Antichrist this morning. We are looking for Jesus Christ because He is coming again to take His people off the earth, and He will call us to come up hither. You know, Revelation 4 verse 1 is an important verse. Before we move into the throne room of God and as we see what we'll be doing in heaven, we need to look at this verse and be reminded that between this present church age and the tribulation to come, there will take place an event that the world has never seen before and that it will never see again, the event that we call the rapture. This morning I'm speaking about the revelation of the rapture in chapter 4 and verse number 1. Notice with me this morning as we begin, we see the presence of a door. Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. We see the presence of a door. John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now the word opened means a door that was standing open. It had been opened and it was open wide and standing open. And as John looked up to the heavens, we don't know exactly what he saw, but he saw something as if it was a door open in heaven. Now we don't know exactly what that may have looked like. We don't know exactly what John saw, but the Word of God tells us that there was a door that was open. We may not know what that was, but we certainly know this morning who the door is, amen? Who is that door? Notice with me in John chapter 10 and verse 9. Notice the words of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said in verse 9 of John chapter 10, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and shall find pasture. You see, the reason why the Apostle John was called up to come up hither, because he had already walked through the door of salvation. He could walk through the door of revelation because he had walked through the door of salvation. You see, the Apostle John knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. And let me say this morning as we begin looking at this verse, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. He's the only way anyone can ever have their sins forgiven. He's the only way that we can end up in an eternal bliss in heaven. He's the only way that we can be delivered from the judgment of sin. Did you know this morning that people don't go to heaven by walking through the door of a church? Isn't that true? Absolutely. Unfortunately, many people today, and perhaps you might be some of them this morning, that think by being in church, that's what will get you to heaven. My friends, it's not the door of the church that will get us to heaven. My friend, people don't go to heaven by doing good works. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't get to the Lord by our own works. The only door into salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is the one, the only one, that died on the cross to pay for our sins. He's the only one that rose again on the third day. And He's the only one that we can call on today to receive the full forgiveness of sins. Let me ask you this morning, has there been a time in your life that you have walked through that door of salvation? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the door. Now here's a door over here. You might see the door. You might know what it is. You may appreciate the door. But how many of you understand this morning, until you walk through that door, you have not yet been saved? My friends, it's so important that you just don't know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but that you have Christ living in you. Has there been a time that you walked through the door of salvation? You know, many people today claim to be saved. But I like what the old-fashioned revival preacher told the meetings he went to, the people there. He said, he asked this question. He said, are you saved? Important question. Are you saved? He would ask them. When did you get saved? Now you might say you were saved when someone led you in a prayer, or you prayed a prayer and then you were baptized. And he asked this question, what were you saved from? Were you just saved from hell? Is that all you were saved from? My friend, salvation is much more than that. And then he went on to ask this question. Are you really saved? Are you saved from your sins? Are you saved from lying? Are you saved from anger? Are you saved from bitterness? Are you saved from disobedience to parents? Are you saved from lust? Are you saved from gambling? Are you saved from bad manners? Are you saved from anger and frustration? Come on, what are you saved from? That's what the old revivalist preached. And that's the truth, is it not? See, if we just say, well, I prayed a prayer once upon a time, and I'm saved from hell, all right, that's well and good, but what are you saved from? Is that all you're saved from? My friends, that's not salvation. Salvation, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, if he's walked through the door of salvation, he is a brand new creature. He has Christ living within him, and his life will not be the same. My friends, what are you saved from? You see, the only hope that you have in being part of the rapture, escaping the great tribulation and the wrath that will come down upon this unbelieving world, is to make sure that you've walked through the door of salvation. My friends, have you walked through that door? If you're unsure this morning, then you need to take care of that matter. You see, the door of salvation is wide open. That's the good news of the gospel. Christ said, I am the door. Just like this door here, it's wide open. But don't forget it. One day that door will shut. And it will never open again. Don't get me wrong. There will be people that will get saved during the rapture. But if you've heard the gospel, if you understand the gospel, and you are not saved before the rapture, the Bible says you will not be saved in the tribulation period. The Bible tells us in the book of Thessalonians, chapter number 2, verse 11, and for this cause shall God send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. My friends, if you are not saved today, you need to get saved today. Because Christ is coming. The rapture will take place, and if you are left behind, you will believe a lie. There will be such confusion and panic and catastrophic events in the world, you will not know what's going on, and the Bible says you will not be saved. My friends, today is the day of salvation. Have you walked through the door that is Christ? Have you received Christ as Savior? When Christ comes, my friend, will you be a stranger to Him? Or will you be snatched up to be with Him? Amen? The door of salvation. And then there is the door of service. Now, those of you who are Christians here this morning, do you remember the letter to the church in Philadelphia? The Lord had given them an open door. And what was the door open for? It was for service. It was for witness. It was for the work of missions. And if we have gone through the door of salvation, brethren, we need to run through the door of service. Amen? We need to take the gospel to as many people as we can and tell them that Jesus is coming. The Savior is coming. We need to be saved before it's too late. We need to run through that door of service. As I shared with our soul-winning class yesterday, the Bible tells us in the book of the Revelation, chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Now, we know who the Spirit is. That's the Holy Spirit of God. But who is the bride? Now, when Christ comes at the rapture, the Bible describes him as the heavenly bridegroom, and a beautiful marriage takes place. He is the bridegroom, but who is the bride? The bride is his children, every born-again Christian. That's what the bride is. He is the bridegroom, and he is coming for his bride, and the Bible tells us at the end of the book of the Revelation, in conclusion, chapter 22, verse 17, that the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. My friend, that's our responsibility, to tell others to come to Christ. Amen. To tell others to come before it's too late. Let me ask you this morning, when was the last time that you invited someone to come to Christ for salvation? My friends, the door is open. We need to be busy about the Lord's business, amen? We don't have time. You see, John was given a revelation of the present church age, but suddenly he was thrust into the future. He was about to see the God's pouring out of wrath upon the world. And here in verse number 1, we see an open door.
My friend, the door of salvation is still open. If you're not saved today, you can enter in. You can experience what it means to be born again. If you have a question about that, please come and see us after the service. Don't wait. But if you're a Christian, amen, we need to tell someone this week. Let me encourage you to witness. We need to be busy because one day we will be gone. The presence of the door. The presence of the door. Come back with me to Revelation chapter number 4 and verse 1. We see the presence of the door. Secondly, we hear the power of His voice. The power of His voice. The Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 1, "And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither." We see the presence of the door, and then we see the power of His voice. Not only did John see a door, but then he heard a trumpet and the voice of the Lord. Now, a trumpet and the Lord's voice being described as a trumpet is a symbolic statement. It means that His voice was as loud as a trumpet. It was piercing. It was loud. How many of you understand this morning when John heard the sound and the voice of Christ, God got his attention, amen? My friend, God grabbed his attention. The power of His voice. Christ has the power to command. Now, trumpets in the Bible were very important. If you look in the Old Testament, you see the nation of Israel were given trumpets for a very important reason, and there were different trumpet blasts for different events in their spiritual life. Now, trumpets were blown, if you remember, as a sign for them to pack up and leave camp, and also to move at the same time. Trumpets were blown to summon the priests to the tabernacle. Trumpets were sounded as an alarm in time of war and danger. And it was important that God's people listened to the trumpets and were attentive to them, and that the trumpeters made the right sounds. John heard a voice as if it were of a trumpet talking with me. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16. The Bible says that there will be a trumpet sound at the very moment of the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. Notice there with me, the Bible says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." My friends, at the rapture, Christ's voice will shout a voice of victory to all His children, and God will use the trumpet signal to sound His for His people, the very moment of departure, where we will be snatched up off this earth and carried into His presence for all eternity. This is not the sound of the trumpet that the nation of Israel heard. My friends, this is not the sound of the trumpet that those that will hear during the great tribulation to signal the wrath of God's outpouring. My friends, this is the trumpet sound for the redeemed, chosen people of God. My friends, this is the trumpet sound for the saved. This is the trumpet sound for the church age saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 describes it as the last trump. My friend, at the rapture, the trumpet will sound. And the Bible says, we shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord forever. And we will hear it at the last trump. And we will leave this world forever. Now, I don't believe that the unsaved world will hear the sound of this trumpet at the rapture. I don't believe that the Christ rejecters of this world will hear this trumpet sound that is meant for God's people. You see, because only the redeemed of the Lord can hear the voice of the Lord, amen? Only the redeemed of the Lord can hear the sound of the Lord. And my friends, Christ will have the power to command an end to gravity in your life and mine, and we will fly up to meet the Lord in the air. You see, the power of Christ's voice will release us from this earth, from the bounds of gravity, and we will fly up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. My friends, the rapture is coming. Are you ready? At any moment, the Lord can come. Every prophecy in the Bible has already been fulfilled. You might ask, what is the next prophecy that is in God's biblical calendar? My friend, it is the rapture. At any moment, any minute now, the Lord will shout a shout of victory. The trump will sound, and the Bible says he will command his people to come up, hither. The Bible says, notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now in the Bible we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ cried out or shouted three different times, and at every time there was a resurrection. You remember at the grave of Lazarus, when the Lord went forth to his tomb, Lazarus was already dead, buried, gone. And the Lord Jesus Christ stood in front of that tomb and yelled out the wonderful words, Lazarus, come forth. And I believe with the old preacher who once said, if the Lord Jesus Christ didn't name the name of Lazarus, every single dead person in that grave would have come forth. But Lazarus came forth. He arose by the power of the Word of God. The second shout of the Lord was at the moment of his death. You remember when the Lord was hanging on the cross? And he shed his holy, sinless blood to pay for your sins and mine. You remember the last thing he said? He said, it is finished. He cried out with a loud voice, it is finished, which means it was paid in full. And when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the Bible tells us that the graves were opened and some living believers rose again from the dead. And you see, the third time that the Lord will shout a shout of victory, my friend, there will be a rising, a resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise. Then you and I, which are alive and remain, will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You see, at the first shout, one person arose. At the second shout, many people arose. And at the third shout, millions will arise. My friends, the rapture is coming. The voice of the Lord will sound. Are you excited as a Christian? You should be. My friend, the Christian life is the most exciting life that you can live, that you can know. As we were driving down the mountain just to church this morning, you know, the sun rays were shining down through the clouds. You know, the city of the skyline of Cairns is beautiful. But then I looked up to the clouds. And then I was reminded, my friends, we have a great God who is beyond our imagination. And he is coming for his own. The rapture is coming. And as God's people, we need to live in the light of his return. Amen. We need to be motivated by his return. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 17, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now we may not know, we do not know yet what the Lord will say. Will he say, come up hither? Will he say, come forth? Or will he just say, come home? We don't know, but we will find out. The power of the voice of God will lift us up to be with him. My friends, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you serving the Lord? You know, some people say that Christians will go through the tribulation. The tribulation period. We'll have to stay here for that. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us, and we know that in Revelation 4 verse 1, just as John was a picture of the rapture, you and I will be taken off this earth before the tribulation. And by the way, God doesn't need to use the tribulation to cause his people to get right with him. He doesn't need to use the tribulation to bring judgment upon us. Our sins have been judged at the cross, my friends. The tribulation is for the unbelieving world. And by the way, we will stand in judgment before the Lord. It won't be at the tribulation. It will be at the judgment seat of Christ. When we stand before the Lord, amen, and he will reward us according to our deeds as Christians. Did we live for him? Did we serve him? Did we witness to him? Witness for him? Did we live in the light of his soon return? My friends, the judgment seat of Christ will take care of you and I getting right with God. Amen? Absolutely. The tribulation is not for the Christian. The rapture is for the Christian. We see the presence of the door. We see the power of his voice. And then thirdly, we see the promise of deliverance. The promise of deliverance. Notice what John said in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. I heard a voice. The voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. Now that's an important statement here in this first verse. The things which must be hereafter are the future things. Those things that will happen in the future. And as we move into the book of the Revelation, and as we come to Revelation chapter number 6, we will see the details of that horrible event called the tribulation. We will see the outpouring of God's wrath and the catastrophic events that will come upon this world that this world has never seen. And it's important to realize that the Lord called John up to himself before the revealing of these events. That's important. Because likewise, you and I are promised a deliverance. A deliverance from the tribulation. You see, the Bible tells us the tribulation period is the time of Jacob's trouble. It is also called the great day of the Lord's wrath. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17. But notice what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us. Those believers living in this day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. We see the promise of the Lord's deliverance. Let's read together this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 on 2. 1, 2. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, the Lord will come for His own. The Bible tells us that we are not appointed unto wrath. The word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, caught up, means to be carried away. Means to be seized by force. We will be taken away by the Lord, and then the Lord will pour out His judgment upon an unbelieving world. We have that wonderful promise, my friends, that we will be delivered from the wrath to come.
Amen.
And that ought to cause you to rejoice.
Absolutely.
That ought to cause you to be comforted. We will be delivered from wrath, but we will also be delivered into His presence. Notice with me 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. As we look at this event called the rapture, the Bible says, verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, why is the event of the rapture a great comfort? Notice verse 17, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. My friends, the rapture is a great comfort for God's people, because if you've lost a loved one in the Lord, if you've lost a brother or sister or husband in the Lord, guess what, my friend? You will be caught up to meet that loved one in the air. You will be caught up to see that loved one in Christ. What a wonderful comfort for the believer. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. My friends, we have a wonderful promise of deliverance. A deliverance from this wicked world. You might say this morning, Pastor, we live in a terrible day. Pastor, we live in a shocking day. I'd agree with you. But my friends, there is a moment coming where we will be taken off this world. Be comforted. Christ is coming for His own. Christ is coming to fulfill His promise. And the greatest joy of the rapture is found in verse number 17. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why would we be comforted by that? Why ought we to rejoice? Do you realize that the pleasures of heaven, the joys of there being no more sorrow, there being no more pain, pale in comparison to you and I seeing the Lord face to face? You see, when we see the Lord in the air, when we see Him face to face, my friends, we will see His nail-pierced hands. We will see where the nails went through His feet. We will see the arms that carried us all throughout our life. We will see the lips that prayed for us before the throne of God. My friends, we will see our altogether lovely Savior face to face. That will be the joy of the ages. That will be the joy of eternity. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Christian, are you excited about seeing the Lord? Maybe you're not this morning and you need to walk through that open door, amen, called salvation. Excuse me. I find too many Christians telling me they're saved, but there is no love for Jesus Christ. Jesus says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. If the rapture's not a comfort to you, if it's a fearful thing this morning, my friend, Christ is calling you to be saved. But if you are saved, my friend, you ought to be rejoicing. At any moment, any minute, You hear the trumpet sound. You hear the voice of Christ. And by the time you hear that, my friend, you will see His face in the clouds. And you'll be rejoicing forevermore. The promise of deliverance. The promise of deliverance. The presence of the door is still open, my friend. If you want to go through that door of the rapture, you need to go through the door of salvation first. The power of His voice, my friends, will take care of the rest. Gravity will be set loose and we will be taken up to be with the Lord in the rapture. And then lastly, we will experience the promise of deliverance. Ought that not to motivate us to live for Christ? My friends, if you're sorrowful this morning, be comforted with these words. My friend, if you're not walking with the Lord this morning, get ready for the rapture. Amen. Do something about it today. Get right with the Lord. The Bible tells us in conclusion, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." What does the rapture do for us as Christians? My friends, it motivates us to live for God, to abide in Him, to stay close to Him, to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's coming any moment. Christ doesn't want us to be ashamed of His coming. He doesn't want us to be ashamed of the sins that we have in our closet that are unconfessed. He doesn't want us to be ashamed of the fact that we're not witnessing for Him as we should be. He doesn't want us to be ashamed, knowing that, "Oh Lord, if I just had another moment, I could have gotten right with You about this." And we'll be caught up to meet Him in the Lord. Caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and yet ashamed at His coming. My friends, that's what the rapture ought to motivate us to be and to do for the Lord. In conclusion, back in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, let me ask you this morning, John was found in this verse. Are you in this verse? Are you in this verse? Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. Just like John was called up to heaven, one day every child of God will be called up to heaven also. Will you be, my friends, in that number? Or are you not sure? When Christ comes at the rapture, will you be left behind to face the tribulation? Do you need to walk through the door of salvation today? And if you are saved, we need to praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We need to rejoice in His name. Yep. We need to be excited about the Christian life. We need to keep in mind, Jesus said, "I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." What has the Lord spoken to you about this morning? Is the door of your heart open? If you need to be saved this morning, let me encourage you to hear Christ's calling voice. He's not calling you to come up hither. He's calling you to come to the cross. Are you willing to repent of your sins? To turn from what's on this side of the door and go to the other side, where is Christ? You know, repentance is turning from sin and turning to a Saviour. In order to get to Christ for salvation, you need to repent of your sins. You need to be willing to let go of the wicked, sinful life that we all have lived. Turn from our wicked ways. Admit we are sinners that deserve God's judgment. And turn to Christ for salvation. If you're not saved, my friends, Christ is calling you through the door of salvation. And if you are saved this morning, Christ will be calling us through the door of revelation, amen, the door of the rapture. Are you ready? Christian, are you excited? Tell someone this week what you're excited about, amen. Tell them about a Saviour. Tell them about the gospel before the Lord comes. And let's look forward to this week, what God wants to do in our hearts to prepare us for His coming.